now, hot take, if you were to have alluded in the least to the idea that this could be a possibility prior to the election, you, not wrongly, would be castigated for being an accelerationist and playing fast and loose with the lives of Palestinians. Not wrongly. I would not have said this or predicted this or said it was a likely outcome. But there were a lot of liberals who seemed to almost be preemptively dancing on the graves of the Palestinians that Donald Trump was going to kill, saying, right, if you don't vote for Kamala Harris, you deserve this. Yeah. And so for the counterfactual to be happening, it's a really interesting moment to be in. The libs are completely undermined in their whole theory of the case. So what's going to happen to them? I think a lot of libs can't be saved. The professional managerial class is going to keep doing their thing. They are validated by the system, the status quo. But most people aren't that.
I'm close with a few, I believe they're called Ordo-Trotskyites.
You're going to have to tell me what an Ordo-Trotskyite is.
It's a kind of contrarian orthodox Marxist that trolls people on social media a lot.
Okay.
But they would make that argument explicitly that Trump was the anti-war candidate, and they voted for Trump from what they understood to be a left position because the Democrats were exactly as you described, that they would not have a strong enough arm in Ukraine and Israel and so on. One of those weird groups that just kind of hints at this realignment, whatever is happening right now. Okay, we're going to do a slight slight detour onto Star Trek for a moment. But like, if you look at the utopian visions of the original series, right, there was this like techno-optimism.
Yes.
We were going to have communism in the future, post-scarcity and whatever. And then progressively getting darker to probably around like Voyagers when it starts to get dark. And now if you look at the new ones, they're like super dystopian, right?
I agree. It's the
like
problem.
Like the CIA, the Starfleet CIA is like doing ops on people.
Hate that.
And it speaks to how like the political imaginary of our society has actually declined.
100%.
Like the level of optimism we have for the future. Basically, our willingness to believe that we will ever arrive at communism, like that is the thing that's
100%.
Disappeared.
I think even Voyager was symptomatic. Pretty optimistic. I mean, their problems were that they weren't in Starfleet anymore.
Yeah,
right? Like that they were alone and they had to Enterprise and figure it out. Even Deep Space Nine, again, they were thrust into this like outside of the Federation dynamic, but they were trying to bring Federation values to like what was low-key Israel.
have you heard this thing that the Bajorans are Palestine and the Cardassians are Israel?
So this is what I'm saying. When I was a kid, I thought the Bajorans were Jewish and that was like a Holocaust analogy.
Okay.
But then I grew up.
And
the Bajorans are Palestinians.
Right, right.
Yeah, 100%.
I never caught that.
100%.
Someone told me that like a few months ago. I didn't know that until I was 37.
The actress who plays Ensign Rolaren Next Generation, and then she appears, I think, on
She becomes one of the freedom fighters, right?
Yes, with Tom Paris and the Maquis. Mm. I had her on the show.
Oh, really?
I was on a live stream with her with Katie. Somehow we were on the same show together. And we talked about this. And she's great, and she's a lefty, and maybe she's going to be her.
Wow. That's pretty... Wow. Okay. Very quickly on the Deep Space Nine question, there was the artist Josh Klein told me about this. There was an episode that occurred in 2024 in San Francisco that they go back in time and they're looking at these like
Bell's Rebellion.
Slums. What's it called?
The Bell's Rebellion.
Exactly. And Cisco and Dr. Julian and like they're in the middle of this revolution and they talk about how this was a turning point for the establishment of like their utopian society in the future. Mm-hmm. But it was like fucking crazy. Because the moral of that story was that they lead what's basically a rebellion within a concentration camp and kill some police officers and army officials, if I recall the murder of these oppressors is justified.
Yeah, for Luigi.
Terrorists were right in this story. And it's like, that is actually really radical to put into the home of every American family on like Tuesday night at 7 p.m. or something.
This is why I tell people, I grew up on Star Trek. Star Trek radicalized me. Like, I think it is a coherent value system in which I would like to raise my children if they exist.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is a concentration camp in San Francisco. They literally are walling up. I mean, this is to the conversation we were having earlier. If you can out of sight, out of mind people, that's fine. But the second it becomes too obvious, too apparent, you need to have the gloss. The gloss is a necessary part of it. If people are actually confronted with the gap between the world as it is and the world as it should be, it's no longer sustainable. And in that episode, if I recall correctly, Jadzia Dax, one of the crew members, ends up on the other side of the wall.
Oh,
and she's
like
a pretty girl,
right.
Yep. And some rich guy takes her in, and she's having a great time until she like discovers,
and
like,
he's
where's
like the CEO of a tech platform communication network or something.
Right. And so, like, yeah, it's an extremely radical episode.
Yeah.
Extremely radical episode. And I think you're right, 2024, the way that Star Trek predicts these kinds of things exactly, it is notable. One of the other Star Trek lore realities is that we don't get full Star Trek utopia until after World War III.
Right, right.
Right, and that's what we get with like First Contact.
Oh, that might be coming up pretty soon. So we got something to look forward to.
That's why it's like, I'm not an accelerationist because I don't think it's like a moral position, knowing, not knowing what's going to happen, to be in a relatively privileged position and ask other people to sign up for hell. That being said, given the intransigence of our political reality, I think it would, it's only human to fantasize about the big thing happening
that
forces everybody's hand. Mm-hmm. You know, there was some optimism. Optimism isn't the right word, but there was some hope that maybe COVID, right, was a moment that would demonstrate what the state could do if it wanted to and change
wartime
people's expectations.
Economy. Yeah, socialism is possible, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, it didn't pan out that way. But this is fantastic. And you know what? At some point in the future, we'll do a whole conversation about Star Trek. I had that in my notes somewhere, but it was like... I knew it would bring us on a tangent, so I didn't bring it up
Well, I'd love
until
to.
Much
always
later.
I'm always going to talk Trek.
Yeah,
you should come on Bad Faith and we can talk
Trek
as well.
I would love to. That would be great. Yeah. Brianna, thank you so much. This is just super fun to chat with you, and I have great respect for your work.
Thank
so,
you. The respect
Thanks
is mutual. I really appreciate the invitation. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hi, everybody. This is Joshua Citarella. What you just heard is an excerpt from this week's bonus episode. If you want to hear more and get access to the full catalog for Doomscroll and other podcasts, you can support the show on Patreon or Substack, where I'm putting out new episodes every week. This is an independent show. I don't do any advertising, so your support is really what keeps this project going. Thanks for listening. See you again soon.